Brainwashing in Communist China.
We read the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is brainwashing in Communist China? What would happen to you during the process of Communist Chinese style brainwashing? What is it? How does it work? In this lecture, we discuss, in brief, some of these serious questions. First of all, it is necessary to understand the policy used by especially the Chinese Communists. After Mao Zedong swept out the forces of General Chiang Kai-shek from the mainland of China in 1949, the unfortunate millions of people of this land found themselves being introduced to a new thing, something never heard of before, a process especially and scientifically designed to capture their minds, to make them mind-controlled by their new rulers. It is necessary for us to understand the steps followed, especially in China, after the Communist takeover. Number one, there is the dealing with open opposition. Number two, the Chinese Communists bring about a false peace. Actually, this is a well-planned psychological move. The purpose of it is to identify any who oppose the Communist rulers but keep their motives secret. A time of seemingly great peace is ushered in after a Chinese Communist takeover. An atmosphere of love, goodwill, restitution of property, helping the downcast, even the paying off of debts, the reopening of schools and orphanages and old age homes, etc., all comes to pass. In a Communist jargon, this is called the relaxation period. The newly conquered people, naturally, have previously heard much about their Communist rulers, and the Communists know this well. Hence, this program is designed to give the conquered people a feeling of safety, happiness, security, and to break down the natural tension that exists since a new power rules the people. The effects of this move are absolutely amazing. All the stories of how terrible communism is, slowly but surely, seem to be proven lies and fairy tales. The people now see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and actually physically partake of the seemingly wonderful benefits of their new rulers. Can you imagine the tremendous impact that this false peace period has upon the people, since they stood in fear and trembling concerning what their new rulers would do? All the newly introduced peace, plenty, and concern, of course, slowly but surely sweeps away the fears of the new conquered population. Those now under communism begin to rethink. They wonder if all the stories told them about the brutality and fierceness of a communist regime, if these stories were not from the world of fancy and myth. These people see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and touch with their fingers a peace like they have never known before. One missionary in China tells of seeing during this false peace period how that the poor farmers actually were given land. Deeds of private ownership were issued to these people. Those who were in debts had their debts paid. Prostitutes and dope addicts were removed and put into homes to cure and heal them. The missionary says he actually saw this going on after the Chinese takeover of communism in China. But how long does this new peace last? It continues from approximately 9 to 16 months. Almost all those who had thoughts of communism being a tyranny, of course, begin to relax. They are made to see by actual, visible, tangible evidence how wrong these stories have been. In reality, the communists who were supposed to be the fiercest of all enemies now seemingly are their best and closest friends. But there is a second step. After the introduction of the false peace, there then comes the period of confidence contact. Questionnaires, sheets of paper, autobiographies must be written out. After the false peace has had its desired effect, then questionnaires are passed out to the happy, relaxed citizens. These questionnaires contain long series of questions concerning each of the person's life, both private and public. Some of the questions on the questionnaire have been these, quote, "Did you ever hear the Communist Party was evil? If so, who told you this? Did you believe it then, and how do you feel now? Where do these persons live who told you communism was evil? Can you help us locate them that we may teach them different also?" You will be asked to write out your life's history over and over again. The speaker heard one woman missionary who escaped from China describe how she wrote out her entire life's history 7 different times in a year's period. Both good things and bad things, all that you can remember about yourself, you must put on paper and turn it into your newfound saviors. Information about family, friends, workmates, neighbors, the community, former rulers, debts, habits, hobbies, physical conditions, weaknesses, foods, in fact, everything that the individual writing the paper can think of himself must be written and handed in to his new friends. But we stop here and inject the question, why is all of this material written over and over? Actually, the communists have a method in their madness. Basically, they're seeking to detect those who outwardly and seemingly have accepted the communists as friends, yet down inside they still have grave doubts and suspicions of their rulers. They still have a longing and love for the old way of life and still carry some respect for the Western capitalist world. These questionnaires and autobiographies are studied and compared by communist experts. They are seeking to see if there is any suggestion of doubt or unreliability, or any who possibly are diseased in their subconscious mind by their former capitalist rulers. All those whose papers carry the slightest contradiction, and they are all compared constantly, are marked as, quote, sick, end of quote, and, of course, must now undergo the necessary treatment or communist therapy to see if their former capitalistic ailments and sicknesses can be cured by the party. This is called, in communist jargon, re-education of the people. The Russians call it corrective internments. The next step is that of applying the cure for the detected sickness. The cure for these evils still contained in the people is called brainwashing. This term comes originally from a Chinese word which in its basic etymology means to sweep away, to sweep clean. Of course, today in the Western world, brainwashing has taken on various shades of meanings. But originally, in communist semantics, it means to sweep away, to sweep clean. Just what is this brainwashing Chinese style? It is necessary for us to understand the communist view of the human mind. It consists of two parts, they say. The human mind has a conscious, then a subconscious. Man has no soul. There is no life after death, no God, no eternity. Man is the highest form of material that has evolved on the scale of evolution there is. And the greatest part about man is his mind. And this mind has a conscience and a subconscious. Now we must stop a moment and understand how the communists see the Westerner's mind as having been molded or formed. They say that the mind of the Westerner, of their capitalist enemy, has been molded by the society in which they were brought up. You are the product of your environment, they say. They call this the molding power of economic determinism. Certain ideas and principles have been instilled into your mind and the subconscious as a result of you being reared up under your capitalist system of life. Such things as church, God, belief in the word, patriotism, heaven, hell, hard work, making and saving honest money, devotion to a home, a husband, wife, children, the system of free enterprise, etc. Communists say all of these ideas are false, and therefore must be removed from the poor victim's subconscious mind before he can be free. They must be brainwashed. They must be swept away. The brain must be washed, free of these poisonous impressions put there through the environment of the capitalist system. Your subconscious takes in certain patterns and convictions, they say. Hence, in their estimation, you are considered diseased. It is true that you did not want this disease, neither did you ask for it. But they consider themselves as scientists, raised upon the stage of history, to wash the mind free of every vestige of these diseases, and then to place in the mind the truths of life and the new communist world. By their hideous process of brainwashing, they seek to sweep clean the mind, then to place new ideas, new principles, the ones of truth, they say, the ones handed up from the teachings of Marx, Engels, and Lenin. Someone has asked the question, but can this brainwashing really work? Dr. Fred Swartz, world authority on this subject, has said, quote, Brainwashing is an accurate and ruthless science, an attack upon the human mind, a destructive science. End of quote. This process can actually break and shatter to pieces long-time and well-established thought patterns fixed deep within the human subconscious mind, and cause the patient afterwards to say things they would have never said, to confess to crimes and deeds that they could never have committed. There are many examples of how this has actually succeeded. An American girl went to China to study under a scholarship. She was arrested, brainwashed. She was later released and met by newsmen at the border. And as she went out, she confessed that she had been a spy for the American government in China, and she had nothing but praise for the communists, saying that they had delivered her and given her true freedom. A missionary, of whom your speaker heard, made this statement. He had a friend in China who actually confessed after brainwashing that he had hidden rifles under his baptistry and worked as an agent against the Chinese communist. Cardinal Menzenti, at his trial in 1949, when the Soviet-style brainwashing finished, the old man confessed to crimes and to deeds that he could never have committed. Harlan Popov, the famous world preacher from Bulgaria, confessed at his show trial before the world press of things he possibly could never have done. American soldiers captured in Korea went through the brainwashing process. They were let loose, and many returned, sickly, selfish, without a will to resist. And even of late, many of the American prisoners of war who spent years in the communist prisons of North Vietnam, many of these men, upon returning home, have actually committed suicide. You ask the question, does it work? Friend, it works. But how does this devilish, inhuman thing work? How can a person's mind be changed, be swept clean, and entirely new convictions put there? Now let me show you the four steps usually followed in the mind capturing and brainwashing process. First, there is the exhaustion of the patient. The one who is diseased, after his papers have been examined, must first be put through the paces of being brought to a point of complete physical exhaustion. Physical fatigue is the first step in the breakdown process. Wear the person down. A guard stands over him day and night for many weeks. No sleep, and then broken sleep. Some are tied on a plank for 2 weeks at a time. Others are placed under hot, bright lights. All of these designed to take from the body of the victim all possibilities and longing for rest and regaining of strength. Wear him down. Long periods of hunger, then tiny bits of food, and then continued, extended long periods of hunger. When the human body is really completely exhausted and worn out, nothing functions in order like it should. The mind is blurred and hazy. The will and strength to resist is whittled away. The person is like a doped, helpless child. This is the first step in sweeping the mind clean, the complete exhaustion of the patient. Step number two is to confuse the patient. Communism says confuse the issue and you can do anything with it. With the great physical exhaustion, then comes confusion. The patient is questioned under dazzling lights and terrific heat, seeing nothing but the lights and hearing nothing but questions, 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 questions. Hundreds of questions are fired at the patient for as long as 24 hours non-stop. The indoctrinator, observing the scene, is an expert. He is trained in brainwashing. He knows what to look for in the patient. He can pick out the various types of people, the leadership type, the quiet type, the hard resisting type, the worrying, anxious type, the brittle, despondent type. The interrogator knows the patient's traits. He's an expert. He detects them quickly. And he has soon the patient's very personality written on a page in front of him. The indoctrinator begins to blame the system in which the patient grew up for all his troubles and problems. The various biographies and self-confessions and questionnaires that have previously been written out many times are now brought into the patient, and they are reread. The contradictions, naturally there would be in so many, are enlarged upon by the interrogator. And he constantly reminds the patient, "But you said this, you wrote this." Every question must be answered. The face is slapped. The body is pricked with pins and needles. Water, hot and cold, is dashed upon the naked patients. The sex life is fully and thoroughly investigated. Trick questions asked are designed to trap the patient, and regardless of how he answers, he is guilty. For example, one of the trick questions would be something like this: "Are you sorry that you radioed that information out to the enemy?" The patient, if he answers yes, is saying that he did radio the information, he's sorry. If he answers no, he's saying that he still radioed the information out, but he's not sorry. So either way the patient answers, he is trapped by the interrogator, the indoctrinator. Injections are given to highly stimulate the sex functions of the weary body. Shoutings, cursings, beatings, slappings, lights, questions, more questions. The patient is completely exhausted. Truth becomes blurred. The borderline between truth and lie is so blurred, the person is deeply confused and sincerely wonders, did he actually do these things? Did he send a radio message out? The communists want a mental breakdown of the patient. He must be made to believe that the untrue is true and that truth is not true. The third step in brainwashing and breaking down the person is bringing the patient into sharp physical pain of the body. Severe beating with all types of instruments. Various rods are inserted into the openings of the human body. They are often dragged across the floor, left cold and freezing, are under stifling heat, no food or water, tied to a chair. One minister reports seeing men hung from their heels to the ceiling and beat back and forth with huge clubs and rubber hoses. One missionary reports how he was tied for 2 weeks on a 6-inch plank. Sometimes in a position where the patient can neither sit down nor stand up. Hot pokers, knives, nails, fish hooks, various instruments are used in inducing physical pain. Pastor Richard Wumbrand tells how that cats were actually nailed by their feet just in front of the prison door, and they hung for many days dying a slow death, and how this process so well broke down the resistance of the prisoners. Tape recorders with sounds of screams, voices like that of the patient's wife or children screaming for help. Oftentimes, the patient is marched out, lined against the wall, only for a blank cartridge to be fired, and he is brought back in to the brainwashing cell. The final step in sweeping the mind clear is to put the patient into great, serious fear. Exhausted, confused, racked in pain, the last step is fear. That dread beast of all humanity, fear. All during the process, the communist experts have studied and observed the power of the patient to resist. They have noted his devotion, his affection, his loyalties, his longings. Now, great fear must be induced into the person's mind, and this will result in brainwashing. A child is brought in, the son or daughter of the patient, and is severely beaten before the father or mother. Animals have been tortured to death, are bodily dismembered before the patient. A member of the family is brought before the patient, is taken out, and a shot is heard. A wife is raped before the husband's eyes. Tape recorders play day and night with voices that sound like the beloved son, our daughter, our wife, our husband, our mother, our father. Terrible things these people experience. Finally, the result desired is given. Finally, the whole mental reserve is broken down. Medically speaking, this process is called, quote, the cortical inhibition of the higher cerebral function, end of quote. Or in simple everyday English, it simply means a breakdown of that portion of the human brain which controls the person's conscious and voluntary actions. With this being given, the victim collapses. His entire past life has been called forth before him. His previous principles, loyalties, convictions, devotions, purposes, they have been declared as false by his interrogators. The very laws of one's life have been constantly presented before the one under the brainwashing process. The interrogator seems to have proven to the confused patient that it was these things that has caused all the evils, the ills, and the problems for that patient's life. Now, the patient hears, these things are wrong. They are evil. They are false. Give them up. Give them up. We communists want to help you. We want to save you from this. Let us help you, please. Surrender. Give up the idea of God. Give up the idea of capitalism. Give up the idea of the Bible, of a family, of a home, of an honest profit. Give up the idea of private ownership. We are trying to show you that this is what has ruined your life. The victim then begins to really believe that this is true. He is so helpless. He has been so beaten and broken that any help will be gladly received. Now, an amazing thing occurs. The victim's former torturers suddenly change and become his saving friends. Tape recorders ring out, communism is good, communism is good, communism is saving your life. believe communism. Mao Zedong is your friend. The interrogator has reached the point desired. The victim automatically and naturally confesses to crimes he could not or would not have committed. The interrogator says, "Now, my friend, you have confessed that you did spy against us, but we want you to know that we communists forgive you of all your crimes. You did send out radio messages, but we forgive you. You have been an enemy to communism, but we have come to save you. We are your friends." The victim's tormentors now become the victim's savior. Food, medical attention, rest, a clean bed, assistance, friendship, advice, and loving care is poured upon the helpless human being. This is how brainwashing works. Some of the symptoms of those who have passed through this fierce and vicious ordeal are as follows. The individual sits for long hours staring into space. Enthusiasm and zeal has vanished. The look and action of helpless defeat are characteristic. The memory is in pieces. Upon gaining consciousness, following this ordeal, the person will usually believe the first new voices heard. And they are the voices saying, "Communism is good. We have saved you. We are your friend." The victim can remember little of anything of the past. All he knows is, or she, that they have passed through severe trials. And who has saved them? The communists who are now their friends. That's something of how brainwashing works in communist China. The text from the book of 1 Peter said, "You who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, through faith ready to be revealed in the last time." Though the communist interrogators and indoctrinators may take the human brain, and though they may so break down and batter the human being, and they may sweep away the convictions and intentions and purposes of his mind, we rejoice to know that our soul is in the keeping of the faithful Creator. Drugs, interrogation, and torture may destroy and dissolve the mind, but the soul is safe with Jesus. And here again, in concluding this lecture, we must turn to our only hope and our only help, and that is the wonderful, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The organization Christian Mission to the Communist World counts it a privilege to be able to bring these types of documented explanatory lectures to you who hear them. But at the beginning and conclusion, and intermittently between every lecture, we want to present to you the answer to this biggest beast ever to have risen on the stage of humanity. The answer is Jesus Christ, God's Son. You who are listening have followed with interest this brief investigation of brainwashing in communist China. But what about your own soul? Have you made preparations for eternity? Sorry to say, the average person spends most of his time preparing to live. Few take time to prepare to die. Christ is the only one to prepare you. In the closing moments of this recording, we invite you to bow your head and by faith and repentance
reach out and receive this Christ as your own personal Savior. And then gird up the loins of your mind. Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, renewing your minds day by day in His divine and wonderful service.